for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, May the 25th, 2007. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on Swept Away by the Flood.
Amen.
There's probably a whole lot of people here who can sing a whole lot better than I can, but that's right. It's okay if they can. It's okay. I'm being obedient because the Lord showed me this week and then confirmed in Him last night. God on the inside of me is big enough to do whatever He wants me to do. Okay, and I said, okay, Lord, you open the door, I'll do it. She's never asked me to sing a song before. Well, the door was open, so I had to do it, and y'all were good. Y'all smiled at me. That made it easier, and I'm grateful.
Wait a minute.
That's her own song. Well, miracle woman, Jerry McGee.
Linda, I didn't know you could sing. That was awesome. So anointed. And, you know, even more than your gift and talent, it was from your heart. I tell you, that was beautiful. And then when we sang America the Beautiful, that just makes me cry almost, because the days are coming where it won't be America the Beautiful. With this new Trans-Texas corridor that's being built from the Port Lazarus Cardenas in Mexico, comes straight up through Mexico, straight up the United States, straight into Canada, an international highway owned by Sentra, that's not on the national news. There's things happening here in this world that would horrify you if you knew the truth. We're being lulled to sleep with Anna Nicole Smith and Don Ibis and all the latest Hollywood gossip, and Americans are being lulled to sleep. And then if you share it with some believer, they'll say to you, well, I'm going to be on the next train out of here. Not even what, that is a damnable doctrine. There's many people waiting to get raptured out of here. Their head is in the sand, and they're going to be shocked. I hope they're right. I really do, but it's not in the Word of God. It's not in the Word of God. And yea, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. As our brother was talking last night about the glory of God being in us, if Jesus Christ is in us and He was persecuted, that's why we're being persecuted by our families. Now, we don't want to be the kind of people that are giving a poor testimony to our families. Last week, I felt so rejected, but I came away not thinking, well, it's because I'm a believer and they saw Jesus. I was saying, oh, God, show me, is there something wrong with me? Show me, God, what I have done to warrant such treatment, such devaluing. And I'm still seeking the Lord for that. And because I don't want to be so stupid to think that maybe I'm flawless or sinless, because I want to walk in repentance. As Glenn said last night, he wants God to show him. You know, I want to be more pure when I leave this earth than I am here today. I want God to continue changing me from glory to glory to glory. And when we sing America the Beautiful, it makes me cry. It is sad because it's not too far in the future. I heard Rudy Giuliani say the other night that we need a tamper on the debates. We need a tamper-proof national ID card. Now, what's the next step? God help us. And the news media, because they're owned by globalists, are promoting Republican and Democrat candidates that will comply with their globalist agenda. The real godly people, there was about five others that debated that, I'm telling you, any one of those would have been better than the top three, but the news media doesn't even give them the time of day. So God help us if we have a national ID card that's in the works right now. Next time you get your driver's license, there'll be a little bit more. You may have to have your birth certificate. The next step is, well, you'll lose it or somebody will steal it, so they'll want to stamp it in your forehead or put it on your hand. And let me tell you something, we're not going to make it if we're not walking in holiness and righteousness. And you cannot make yourself holy. God makes you holy as He's holy, as you yield yourself to Him. It says, be holy as He's holy, be perfect as He's perfect, and you're not going to be that trying to self-righteously make yourself holy. But you've got to stay yielded to God. As you yield to Him, He's the potter and you're the clay, and He's going to take the junk out. But you have to walk in repentance under His lordship. And the Bible says that whatever controls you will be your master. Romans chapter 6. So is Jesus Lord or is Satan Lord of your life? I want to share a word today on the flood. I had no idea what I was even going to do. And the Lord wants me to teach on the flood that's coming. So if you will, and this will also be a word of admonition to repent, exhortation to repent, to make Jesus Lord. But it'll also be an encouraging word. Because we're going to be here. God doesn't want you to be fearful. He's not giving you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And if you're not submitted to God, let me tell you, there's lots of areas of fear in your life. When you're under God's refuge, you're in peace. And that's not to condemn anyone that has fear issues. But behind all fear is idolatry. Behind all anger is idolatry. Behind all depression is idolatry. Behind all bitterness is idolatry. In fact, the Bible says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and all iniquity, all sin, is idolatry. So any issue of our life where we're hurt, we're bitter, where we're resentful, you know, I came back last week, you know, feeling some areas of hurt, and I'm saying, okay, Lord, thank you for showing me I have made an idol out of my granddaughter. I thank you. I let her go. Because your idols turn on you, right? Have you ever made an idol out of somebody? Listen, God says you'll have no other gods but Him. And if you make a refuge out of anything else, you better get in Psalms 91, dwell in the secret place of the Most High God and abide under His shadow and His protection. Go, if you will, to Matthew chapter 24, and we'll start there. The Word of God is sharper and more powerful than any two-edged sword, the Word says. And you know what? In these days we're living in, we better know the Word of God. Don't depend on someone else to teach you the Word of God. You need to know the Word of God, because when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him, and the standard is the Word. And the title of this message is Swept Away by a Flood. Matthew 24, verse 38, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Lord, tell us, when will be the sign of your coming? And he said, he answered them in verse 2 and said to them, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here shall be left upon another which shall not be torn down. And he was sitting, on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. There's many places where we've been misled. Number one, another damnable doctrine is that because we're saved by grace, we don't have to obey. That is a damnable doctrine. You know, I believe the Bible doesn't teach save, lost, that every time you sin, you're lost. And I believe that this doctrine of once saved, always saved. You know, if I've been a Christian 46 years and Jesus has been Lord of my life 46 years, I've never doubted my salvation one day. But the Bible teaches that you're saved, you're being saved, and you will ultimately be saved. And whether you believe once saved, always saved, or save, lost, the Bible says that only the righteous will inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible says no murder, no liar, no angry person, no thief, no adulterer, no effeminate, no homosexual will enter the kingdom of heaven. They've also passed a hate law that if you tell a homosexual that he's lost, you can go to jail. God help us. It's so insane and gets more insane every day that if I didn't know the Word of God, or if you didn't know God, you could go crazy in this world. And lots of people are going crazy. And they go to they'll go to church to get a word from the pastor that will change their life, and they get sent to many churches have clinical psychologists hired. And you can take a pitcher of water, and it's pure water, and put a little poison in it, and it's still poison. The Bible says that psychology, see to it no one takes you captive by the philosophies of the world, by the elemental principles of the world rather than Christ. So they medicate you, which causes you to not see the sin, keeps you in la-la land, keeps you from being sanctified, keeps you from dealing with your issues in the sin that causes you to have the problem in the first place. It tranquilizes you. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, in latter times men will fall away from the faith, giving heed to doctrines of demons and seducing spirits. And that's a doctrine of a demon. Psychology is a doctrine of a demon. And I'm not here to condemn you if you're on psychiatric medication. But what I'm saying, and I'm not telling you to quit it, I'm telling you to get delivered, repent, and you won't need it. Amen? Praise the Lord. So Jesus answered in verse 5, and says, many will come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ, and will mislead many. And then I'm not going to read all of it, but go to verse 38. It says, for the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. Now, what happened in the days of Noah? There was a flood, right? God gave a promise through the rainbow that there would never be a flood of water again. But there's a flood of words coming over the news media. You know, and so we listen to the flood because we don't know the Word of God. And we're inundated by the flood. It says, for as in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking. We see this in America. They were marrying and giving in marriage. We see this until the day that Noah entered the ark. They were doing all that until. And so people here in America and us will be doing all these things if we're in sin until it hits. And so God wants us to walk in repentance so that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 15, please.
Verse 15. And the serpent poured forth water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, which is the church, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. If I say I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, he made him who knew no sin to be made sin for me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When I am weak, then I am strong. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. That is rivers of living water coming forth from my innermost being. Well, Satan has a flood of words that says, you're fat, and God says, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. The devil says, it's hopeless, your husband's leaving, you're going to go broke. Worry, fret, stew. God says, be anxious for nothing but by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, make your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which is surpasseth of all knowledge, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So, for every word of God, Satan's got a word that counters it. You know, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he said, for it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So for every lie, the enemy, as he tries to sweep you away with the flood, if you know the word of God, if he says, you know, be afraid for your life, God says, fear not and be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Then the word of God is the standard that lifts up against the flood. You know, a person that's depressed is depressed because he's listened to lies. You can listen to all that, and the next thing you know, I'm not a person that ever gets depressed, and maybe okay, but last week I felt so discouraged. I must be going to get delivered this time. You know, anger in the Bible is described as a flood. It says wrath is fierce, anger is a flood, but who can stand before jealousy? You know, sometimes when anger comes on you, it just floods over your soul. And it's rooted, it's connected to an idol. And Chris has got a message about on anger about disconnecting the hot wires. Those button-pushing things are connected to an idol. Someplace where you were hurt as a little child, you didn't know you could go to God, so you turned to a promise you made yourself. When I grow up, I'm going to find somebody who will never leave me, who will love me. And so then all these issues, when I make judgments on my parents, wherever my parents don't train me up according to this word, they provoke me to anger. The Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So wherever a parent violates this word, and nobody's parent's perfect, we all have had, if we're not getting delivered, anger issues. God says in Galatians 5:19, if you practice anger, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. That's not a one-time sin. It's a lifestyle. If somebody were to describe you, would they say you're an angry person? And Revelation 3 says if you're lukewarm. Look how many people in the church are lukewarm. If you're lukewarm, you're going to get spit out of his mouth. What about the Bible saying a double-minded man will receive nothing from God? Does nothing mean nothing? We've got to have our mind stayed upon the Lord, and worry's a sin. Matthew chapter 6 gives us an encouraging word. This scripture gave me such hope. When I found out about this corridor, and by the way, contact your senators, your House representatives. Right now, Governor Perry is pushing it. The Texas House voted 139-1 against it. Governor Perry got the federal highway department in, did a moratorium, and he vetoed it, and then that thing just passed, and the senators didn't even read it. God help us. The Centro, this Mexican company that owns this corridor, you know, no telling who's giving them the money. It could be China for all we know. Is it China? And it's going to be an international highway. Won't even be American land anymore. Biggest land grab through eminent domain. You never hear this on the news. There's been a little stir in Texas, but if you don't live in Texas, contact your senators and your House people and ask them to vote against it. But Sintra has been giving a lot of these guys money. God help us. He's going to help us. Hallelujah. But God has the last say. Okay, Matthew chapter 6. It says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth nor rust destroy, neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in to steal. For where your treasure is, there will also be your heart." It says, 25, "For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, as to what you will eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Look at the birds. I think in one translation it says the sparrows. If you've ever seen a sparrow in San Antonio where I grew up, that's all I ever saw was sparrows, and they're nasty, dirty birds. If God is so concerned about a sparrow when it falls, how much more is He concerned for you? It says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will He not much more deal with you, do to you, O men of little faith? So do not be anxious, then saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or with what shall we clothe ourselves? A few weeks ago, I was driving down the road to a seminar, and a girl called me, and she said, "Did you hear about the national ID card? President Bush passed this law in 2005. Did you hear about it?" And she said, "The next thing," and I was just driving along the road, minding my business. And she said, "And they've already decided that it's not going to be a chip. It's going to be a chip or a scanner." Well, that was horrifying. Well, when I got to the hotel, I looked all that up on the internet to see. Well, there was hundreds of thousands of articles, but basically it's not for now. But she was saying it was mandatory. There is going to be something mandatory by May of 2008, and it's probably going to be in your driver's license. That was horrifying. And so I said, "Well, Lord, if you can't buy or sell, and you can't buy gas, how are you going to get around?" And I heard him. I heard two things. The first one I'm not sure about. But Carla wouldn't doubt it because she's into this kingdom stuff, and I believe it too, but she knows more about that than I do. But I heard him say, "I'm going to transport you." Now, I don't know about that one. I mean, it's probably what he's going to do. But the next thing I heard, I know is from God. I heard him say, "Wherever I want you to go, I will supply." I know that's him, and I know the first part is him too. But I came out of a skeptical Baptist background, and I've had to learn through taking people through deliverance about anointing with oil and laying hands on people. You know, I spoke in tongues 10 years before I ever used the gift, and then one day my secretary had gone to a Frank Hammond meeting and got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, I'd already had it for 10 years, but I never used it. Anyway, I was ministering to this girl, and the demon was manifesting through her. And my secretary was afraid, so she was sitting there praying in tongues. And because Frank Hammond had laid hands on her, and she received the baptism, and then he interpreted it, I trusted him, and it validated my gift. Anyway, she started speaking in tongues, and that demon was saying, "Oh, I hate those tongues, I hate those tongues, I hate those tongues." I thought, I better start praying in tongues. I said, "Lord, forgive me that it took a demon to convince me that I need to pray in tongues." And then another time, I always would pray for people across the room, and I would never touch them. But this demon was manifesting this girl, and I went over and I laid hands on her, and the demon said, "Get those holy hands off me." And I went... And then another time I was praying for a girl that had been ritual abused, and she said, "Your hands are hot. Your hands are hot." I'd say, "My hands are hot. Your hands are hot. They're burning me. Lord, forgive me."
The Bible says, without knowledge, my people are perishing for the lack of knowledge because they hated instruction and they didn't receive it. He said, "Give, you know, to him who has ears, let him hear." And you know, I've observed some things at this camp. Glenn says, now when you go in the cafeteria, don't sit up on the end, sit to the very end. And I'll go to the very end, and a few others will, and I'll watch people come in the cafeteria and they all sit at the end. I mean, they all sit right at the front. God says to him who has ears, let him hear. They all had ears. But do you have spiritual ears? We need to be people that listen, strain our ear to hear God and to hear authority. Huh? Rebellion. It's called rebellion. One thing, the last wreck I had, oh, God. The last wreck I had, I got up, I did warfare, I asked God to cover me with the blood of Jesus, I prayed a wall fire, a hedge protection, and warring angels. Anyway, I had a new cell phone, and I ran a red light and hit somebody. And I said, now, Lord, I bound everything before I left. Why did you let this happen? And he said, you were in rebellion, and you've been driving too fast. And I've given you a lot of mercy, but it's discipline. And as I've been saying, Lord, why did you let me run off the... Why did this happen to me, Lord? What are you trying to show me about what happened to me yesterday? Because I went almost a third of a mile with a cruise control going 70 miles an hour in the grass. And I didn't even realize I had the cruise control on. I said, now, Lord... One thing he showed me is this time, had I been going over 70, I might not be here today. Because you only have authority as you're under authority. And I had that cruise control exactly on 70. And it was 70 miles an hour. And I thank God for his mercy. Anyway, God tells us not to be anxious, that he's going to take care of us. But if you're double-minded or you're lukewarm, you can count yourself out of that promise. Okay? God tells us we're to take our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, punishing every disobedience because our obedience is complete. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to God for the smashing down of strongholds. So you don't have to be in bondage, and I don't have to be in bondage. But the way you grew up was how you were trained up, and those things have to be broken if it wasn't according to this word. And that's part of the sanctification process. You know, listening to the flood can cause a person to fall away from the faith. Go to Psalms 29, verse 10. God's in charge. He sits as king over the flood. Hallelujah. The word's a standard, and we have to know what it says. Otherwise, we don't know how to hold the standard up. Isaiah 59:19 says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And David found God to be his solution and remedy for the flood that was overtaking him. He cried out to the Lord in his distress. Psalms 23:2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Psalms 18:16, he sent from on high. He took me and he drew me out of great waters. Hallelujah. Psalms 32:6, therefore let everyone who is godly pray to thee. And if you're disobedient to the Lord, you're not practicing godliness. You know, you're saved by grace. Thank God for grace, or we would all go to hell. But grace does not give you a license to sin. One thing we can all agree on, how you're walking proves what you're walking after. Right? Psalms 32:6, therefore let everyone who's godly pray to thee in a time when thou mayest be found, surely in a flood of great waters they shall not reach him. Psalm 69:1 says, save me, O God, for the waters have threatened my life. Psalm 69:2, I have sunk in deep mire, and there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and a flood overflows me. Psalm 69:14, deliver me from the mire, and do not let me sink. May I be delivered from my foes and from the deep waters.
Verse 15, may the flood of water not overflow me, and may the deep not swallow me up, and may the pit not shut its mouth on me. Now, this is a picture of Satan and demon powers and the enemy, the physical enemies, the spiritual enemies. Psalms 93:3, the floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. So you see, the flood has a voice. So it's demonic. Because we know that water can't speak. It's a type and shadow. Psalm 77:16, the waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were in anguish. The deeps also trembled. Hallelujah. So you see, it's talking about a spiritual thing. It's a foe. It's not talking about water and flood. It's a type and shadow. Psalms 124:1-8 says, then the waters would have engulfed us. The stream would have swept over our soul. Verse 5, then the raging waters would have swept over our soul. Psalms 144:7, stretch forth thy hand from on high, rescue me and deliver me out of great waters, out of the hand of aliens. Wonder who they are. Could it be all the Islamic, Muslim, Hindu? And if you're a converted one, I have nothing against the people, but the religion is demonic. They're the Chaldeans in Habakkuk that overrun the church, the harlot church. You know, if you pray a prayer to receive Jesus, and you're going to be the bride of Christ, men and women, and if your heart goes after another lover, you're a spiritual adulterer or a spiritual harlot. Double-minded. James says if you're a hearer of the word, and not a doer of the word, you're deluded. Go to, where is that scripture? Let's try Timothy. I'm not sure where it's at. No, it's Thessalonians. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. Verse 7. I'm sorry, chapter 2, verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who is now restrained will do so until he's taken out of the way. And then that lawless one will be revealed from the Lord, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders. Now this is the part I want you to see, verse 10. And with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. Do you have a love of the truth? It takes a love of the truth. And for this reason, upon those who do not love the truth, and for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they may believe what is false in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. So they could not be saved. You know, there's many people. I was telling my nephew who they started him on, when he was real little, they started him on Ritalin. And then they gave him Adderall. And, of course, Ritalin is the same derivative as opium, morphine, and some other one. I don't know. But he says Adderall is worse. And so that was a doorway to open him up to drugs. And so he was abusing drugs. Grew up in a Christian school. And I said, Blake, probably 70-80% of people that are in church are lost. He said, no, Aunt Jerry, 90%. Because even the kids in my Christian school act just like the world. And he was doing the same. Go to Lamentations. And the whole book of Lamentations is about a spiritual harlot, about the church that won't walk in repentance. And I'm going to read, Lord, show me where all, you can read the whole book of Lamentations, but I'm just going to read some of it. Okay, go to chapter 1, verse 1. How lonely sits the city, and that's the church, that was full of people. In other words, there's a falling away from the faith going on. She's become like a widow. Isn't Jesus going to be our bridegroom? So that all of a sudden this church has become like a widow. Who was once great among the nations, she who was a princess among the provinces. At one time the church was great among the nations. Now there's so much flim-flam out there and so little of the word. And I understand that the man, you know, I've always watched Fox News in this last 2 years, but Rupert Murdoch, that owns Fox News, is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He's the biggest seller of pornography, one of the biggest sellers of pornography in this country. And, Lord, what was I going to share that goes along with that? He also owns Zondervan. So, help me, Lord. He will. She who was a princess among provinces has become a forced laborer. Does the Bible say if you deal with a slack hand, you're going to be put to forced labor? It says that in Proverbs 12:24. Is that right? She weeps bitterly in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. She has none to comfort her. Now, who's the Holy Spirit? Is the comforter, right? I think it's Acts 5 that says that he gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. Is that where it says? Let me look in Acts. I think it's Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 32. And so is the Holy Spirit to whom God has given to those who obey him. So she has none to comfort her. It says, among all her lovers, her idols, she goes after her idols, all her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They've become her enemies. 2 Timothy 3, 1, verse 5 talks about people that have a form of religion, but they deny the power of it. And if you look up that word power in the Greek, it means the power adherent to godly living. It means repentance. There's many people that believe they're saved by grace and they don't have to repent anymore. That's a lie. That is a damnable doctrine. Now, we're saved by grace, but if you're saved, you will obey. Or you will be working on obeying. If you've got areas of your life that you know displease God, you know, God has great mercy when he sees you're working on it. Verse 3, Judah, which is the church, has gone into exile under affliction and under harsh servitude. She dwells among the nations because she's worldly. But she has found no rest. Now, how does the Bible say you find rest? Matthew 11. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your soul, for my burden is light and my load is easy. It's the only place you're going to get rest in this world is to give up control of your life and come under the control of the Holy Spirit. But Judah here, she has no rest because she's not wearing the yoke of Jesus. In fact, Deuteronomy 28 says that if you're disobedient to the voice of God and His commandments, that you'll find no resting place for the sole of your foot. It says that in Deuteronomy 28. It's a curse. But she's found no rest. All her pursuers have overtaken her. Deuteronomy 28. In the midst of distress, the roads of Zion are mourning. Now, Zion is the church, but it's also the mountain of God. It's the place of God's presence. It's his refuge. He dwells in us and we dwell in him if we're submitted to him. Because no one comes to the appointed feast, all her gates are desolate, her priests are groaning, her virgins are afflicted. Now these are foolish virgins. Matthew 25, put Matthew 25 there. There were the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. The wise virgins had oil for their lamps, which is a type of the Holy Spirit. The foolish virgin said, give us some of your oil. They said, go to the merchants. The merchants are the ones that propone, you know, the flim, the flam, the nickels, dimes, noses, numbers, pomp, press, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes, you know, you bemoan having a little church that never grows, and you think, God, what's wrong? It may be because you're doing something right. My poor son, he preaches the most awesome word. He is just such the most godly man. And he is one person in my family that him and I are on the same page. Thank God. And he's my pastor. But, you know, the little church is like 25 people. And you know, God says before honor comes humility. I know God's going to do such mighty things in his life. He's written songs that I know one of these days that are going to be famous. But you know what? If God did everything that you knew he's going to do at first, you'd be so proud. You'd think you did it yourself. You'd think it's because you're so wonderful. Oh, garbage. He has to humble you, humble you, humble you, humble you, humble you, humble you. My daughter-in-law said, I wish you'd do something besides humble. Because that way, when he does do what he promised, you'll know who did it.
Amen. It says, her priests are groaning, her virgins are afflicted, and she herself is bitter. Her adversaries have become her masters. Her enemies prosper, for the Lord has caused her grief. Because of the multitude of her transgressions, her little ones have gone away. You know, that right there, God says, the sins of the fathers pass on to the children, to the third and fourth generation. As captives before the adversary, and all her majesty has departed from the daughter of Zion. Her princes have become like bucks. They found no pasture because the word of God is not taught in most places. They give you one scripture and lots of illustrations and lots of warm fuzzies. And they have fled without strength before the pursuer in the days of affliction and homelessness. Jerusalem remembers her precious things that were from the days of old when her people fell into the hand of the adversary and no one helped her. The adversary saw her. They mocked at her ruin. Jerusalem sinned greatly. Therefore she has become an unclean thing. All who honored her despise her because they have seen her nakedness. Even she herself groans and turns away. Her uncleanness was in her skirts. The scripture says that God's going to lift the skirts of the harlot and expose their nakedness. And that's if you have other gods. Can I tell you, if you're an angry person, you've got a lot of false gods. If you're a person that's depressed, you've got a lot of false gods. And as you repent of your sin, God will begin to bring healing. And I see some of you that I first met about 5 or 6 months ago, and you really had lots of hurt, and you have a lot of hurt today, but I see it getting less and less as you're repenting. You know, we have to quit looking at what everybody else does and just deal with what's going on in us. Okay. Even she herself groans and turns away. Her uncleanness was in her skirts. The scripture says in Proverbs that the harlot, she wipes her mouth and says, I've done nothing wrong. I know people in my family that will not take accountability. It's always somebody else's fault. And it may be their fault, but, you know, God can show you something that's wrong with you too. It's been my experience. She did not consider her future, the foolish virgins. Therefore, she's falling astonishingly. She has no comforter. See, O Lord, my afflicted, for the enemy has magnified himself. Last night we heard a word about magnifying the Lord. And worship, true worship, as Brother Dale said, is when I take my idols up the mountain, like Abraham took up Isaac, because he said to his servants, my son and I are going up yonder to worship, and we'll be back. And what was the worship? He was willing to give up his only son. And so true worship is when you're willing to give up your every hurt, your every anger, your every idol, everything that depresses you, and know that God is in control. That's true worship. Like what he said, would you worship the Lord if he wouldn't give you anything? That was so good. God, make me a worshiper. Verse 10, the adversary has stretched out his hand over all the precious things, for she has seen the nations, which is a type and shadow of demons, enter her sanctuary, the one whom thou didst command that should not enter into the congregation. All her people groan seeking for bread. Jesus is the bread of life, right? Bread is when the word of God goes forth, that's feeding the sheep. They have given their precious things for food to restore their lives themselves because they don't have a comforter. See, O Lord, and look, for I am despised. I mean, read this whole book of Lamentations. Verse 18, the Lord is righteous, for I have rebelled against his command. Hear now, all peoples, and behold my pain, my virgins and my young men have gone into captivity. I call to my lovers, there's my idols, you know, some of my lovers, wanting to nurse my hurt. My lover is, I've got to find somebody that loves me. I've got to find somebody that accepts me. Somebody that'll communicate with me. Somebody that'll never leave me. And guess what? They turn on me and they leave me. My priests and my elders perished in the city. I have gone into captivity. I call to my lovers, but they deceived me.
My priest and the elders perished in the city while they sought food to restore their strength themselves through their idols. See, O Lord, for I am in distress, for my spirit is greatly troubled. My heart is overturned within me, for I have been very rebellious. In the street the sword slays. Look over in chapter 2, verse 13. How shall I admonish you? To what shall I compare you, O daughter of Jerusalem, church member? To what shall I liken you as I comfort you, O virgin daughter of Zion? For your ruin is as vast as the sea. Who can heal you? Only Jesus. Your prophets have seen for you false and foolish visions. They have not exposed your iniquity so as to restore you from captivity, but they have seen for you false and misleading oracles, all who pass along the way. You know, there's a particular person that's recognized in this country as a prophet, and I read some of his prophecies, and they don't even no more bear witness. One of the things that I recently heard him say is that God is going to have a cure for Alzheimer's. You know what? God's Word says that if you exchange the truth of God for a lie, you worship the creature rather than the Creator, and He gives you over to a reprobate mind. One of the roots to Alzheimer's. Why would God give you a cure for it when He tells you the cure for it is repent? You see what I'm saying? It doesn't even bear witness some of the things. God is not in the least bit interested in what the medical profession is doing because His Word says sickness is a curse. What else do you need to know about it? I'm serious. AIDS research. My son died of AIDS. The homosexuals were in an uproar because there wasn't more money spent by the government to research AIDS. What more do you need to know than repent of your sin and God will heal you? God help us. Says your prophets have seen for you lying visions. Make sure you know the word so you'll know if the prophecy lines up with the word. And then I would like to read all this, but I'm not going to. Verse 54 says, waters flowed over my head. I said, I'm cut off because of my rebellion. Ezekiel 27:26, it says, your rowers, that's like rowing a boat, have rowed you out into great waters. And the root of that is pride. It's speaking in Ezekiel, it's speaking to Tyre, which is the type and shadow of pride. And then it talks about Satan, the king of Tyre is Satan. So is Jesus your king or is Satan your king? Proverbs 17:11 says, a rebellious man seeks only evil, so a cruel messenger will be sent against him. That's Proverbs. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, you're a building, you're a house, you're a field. So this is a temple. It's a field, a house, a spiritual garden. Hebrews 3:4 says, whose house you are if you hold fast the boast of your hope firm until the end. Go to Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 3. Hold fast means I've got to persevere, right? Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 4, for every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful over his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Look over in verse 12. Take care, brethren. Is this talking to a church member? A believer? Take care, brethren, that there should be any one of you with an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Matthew says it's those who endure to the end who will be saved. And it is enduring. Proverbs 24 says, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established, and through knowledge the rooms are filled. The knowledge that keeps me from perishing fills the room of my house. Hallelujah. Now there's a type of house that is not destroyed by the flood. Go to Matthew chapter 7, please. We're going to go back to the first part of this. Verse 14 of chapter 7, verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And many are those who enter it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. One of the ways some of these people, and I believe in prophecy. I love it when Dr. Noel prophesies or anybody prophesies. I just love it. But beware of those that claim to be prophets and they don't have time to give you the time of day. They walk in arrogance. That shows you who's their master, because Jesus said that if you wear his yoke, he's humble and you'll be humble. A good tree cannot produce good bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And I can show you, but I'm not going to do it now, that the tree cutters are demons. So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Many say, Lord, Lord. But he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. You see how he qualifies that? Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy or preach in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So you see, if you practice lawlessness, he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. In other words, practice. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. Who's the rock? Jesus. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So the house on the rock is the one that is the doer of the word, and not the hearer only that gets deluded. There's tremendous promises in the Word of God, and I'm going to share these with you to encourage you in the days we're living in. Isaiah 43, 1 through 7 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they'll not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters. Hallelujah! Bless the Lord. Okay, if you will, go to Psalms 91, and would you put that over, if you would put the overhead. Psalms 91, just you can represent it with an umbrella. As you dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, you will abide under the shadow and the protection of the Almighty. You will say to the Lord, you're my fortress, my refuge. You'll deliver me from the snare of the trapper. You'll not deliver me from the pestilence that stalks by night, the arrow that flies by day, and the destruction that lays waste at noon. This is a place I have to live, submitted to his lordship. When I'm under his lordship, there's no fear, there's peace. If you're outside of God's refuge, you can turn the next one. You get outside of the refuge, that's where the stress is. If the doctor says, I can't find anything wrong with you, it's stress related, what he's saying is you need to get under God's refuge. Now, if you have a fear in your life, all the areas of your life, but say you have five areas of your life where you're fearful. You're getting hit out here. That's connected to an idol. Here you're safe. Here you're not safe. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Can you do the next one? And so when I get out here, I get devoured by the enemy. Jeremiah says, the Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has swallowed me down like a monster. He's filled his stomach with my delicacies. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, which means drink down, gulp down, and swallow up. So I'm either swallowed up by God, by his life, or I'm out here swallowed up by something else. And we make a refuge out of many things. Isaiah 28:15 says, "Because you said we have made a covenant with death and with a pact with Sheol, the overwhelming scourge will not reach us when it passes by, for we have made falsehood our refuge and we've concealed ourselves in deception." Every place you're hurt, every place you're angry, every place you're fearful, you've made something else a refuge. You've turned to a false god instead of turning to God. Deuteronomy 32 says that God will have compassion on you the minute your strength is gone. The minute you lay down your idols, He'll have compassion on you. Go ahead and do another one. And so when we're in God's refuge, we're protected. Proverbs 16 says, if a man... Now, this word is encouraging to me. If your ways please the Lord, even your enemies will be at peace with you. Now, who are your enemies? The terrorist? The globalist? The Satanist? Burglars? Anyone who'd want to hurt you? If your ways please the Lord, it makes even your enemies to be at peace with you. So if something happens, okay, Lord, what are you trying to show me? God showed me this when I ministered to a girl who came out of Satanism, and every day was a trip. Every day she was being attacked. Every day she was broke in, wheels flying off her car, broke into her apartment, being raped. There was something every day. There was so much wrong with her, I didn't even know where to start. So I started with whatever the biggest problem was that day. And I'd say, okay, Lord, what are you trying to show her? The Lord would show her something. We'd deal with it. She'd get delivered. And then it was like peeling an onion. And the next day was another trip. And so we'd say, okay, Lord, what are you trying to show her? And the Lord would show us a ritual or something that she'd done, something that had been done to her, lead her in forgiveness, break soul ties, and she'd be delivered. And so whenever the enemy's attacking you, you need to say, okay, Lord, why? Why am I being hit? I'm saying, Lord, why did I run off the road yesterday? Is there something you want to show me about that? One thing He showed me is I better keep the cruise control on exactly the right speed limit. I heard, what's the guy in South America? Norman Parrish, I heard him say, you only have authority as you're under authority. And I thought, you better slow down. I've been keeping that cruise control just exactly. You go through a little town, it's 40 miles an hour. I mean, being so obedient. Because I want an authority with God. I don't want to be rebellious. Okay, go to Psalms 41:11. And these are going to be scriptures you can hold on to in these last days. And there's many more than I'm not showing you. But as I find them, I'm going to teach them. Okay, Psalms 41:11 says, "By this I know that thou art pleased with me, because my enemy does not shout triumph over me." Now, who's your enemy? Hallelujah. It's also satanic people. This whole globalist one world government, this corridor is a prelude to one world government and us losing our sovereignty. That's why the border is not being guarded right now. I heard Duncan Hunter, who passed a bill in Congress, and he's one that's he's running for president, and I'm not supporting anybody, but, I mean, I can tell he's a good man. Anyway, he said, I'm the one that passed the bill in the Senate that the fence goes across California, New Mexico, Arizona, and Texas. He said they've built 2 miles of it. Do you hear that on the national news? I don't think so. 2 miles of it. Anyway, when this corridor comes in, it'll be open borders because I understand the first checkpoint will be Kansas City. So anybody can come down the corridor. It's 4 football fields wide. And don't take my word for it. Pull up NAFTA, N-A-F-T-A corridor, or Trans-Texas corridor, or North American Union on the internet, and there's thousands of articles. You know, when I first found out about this, I called every governor, or emailed every governor except a couple in the whole United States. I emailed every person on Fox News, every person on CNN. I called congressmen. I called senators. Do you know that I never got one response from anybody? Now, do you think that's an accident? Do you think it's an accident that every gas station you go into is owned by foreigners? Do you think that's an accident? I tell you, there's an agenda, and we better be ready. And this is encouraging to me, that I can find hope and comfort and protection in God. Okay, go to Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35, verse 3. It says, encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. Or is that us? Say to those with anxious heart, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened. God open our eyes, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will shout for joy. For waters will break forth in the wilderness and streams in the Arabah, and the scorched land will become a pool and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, its resting place, grass becomes reeds and rushes. Now this is what I want you to hear. And a highway. Now God tells me about a new highway. Not the Carter Highway. But he says, and a highway will be there, a roadway, and it'll be called the Highway of Holiness.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The unclean, that's Bin Laden, the terrorist, the Satanist, the globalist, the One World Order people, anyone that would try to do you harm, the unclean will not travel on it. So we better get on it and stay, right?
Yes.
But it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it. The Bible says that you can pound a fool in a pestle, in a mortar, along with a pestle, and his folly will not return from depart from him. In other words, a mortar and a pestle is the thing that Indians use to grind corn, or pharmacists use to grind pills. It says you can put a fool in there and grind him up and let him go through all kind of pain, and his folly will not depart from him. It says no fool is going to be on that land. Isn't that right? No fool will wander on it. No lion, which is the type and shadow of Satan, will be there, nor will any vicious beast go up on it. Hallelujah. No demon can get on that road. These will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, which is the mountain of the Lord, which is his refuge, with everlasting joy upon their heads, and they'll find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Glory to God. Now that's our hope. But we have to walk in obedience to the Lord. Okay, one last place. Go to Job 28. Now, this is a pronouncement concerning wisdom. 28 verse 1. Surely there's a mine for silver and a place where they refine gold. Iron is taken from the dust, and from rock copper is smelted. And he goes on describing wisdom. In verse 7, this path of wisdom no bird of prey knows. King James says, there is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. In other words, the demons can't see the path of wisdom. Hallelujah. It says, nor has the falcon's eye caught sight of it. Now, the path of wisdom is also the highway of holiness. It's also Psalms 91. It's also Galatians, says, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Nor has the falcon's eye caught sight of it. The proud beasts have not trodden on it. In other words, the demons can't get on it. Nor has the fierce lion passed over it. Satan and his demons can't find the path of wisdom. He puts his hand on the flint. He overtones the mountains at the base. He hews out channels to the rocks, and his eyes sees anything precious. He dams up the streams from flowing, and what is hidden, he brings out to the light. Verse 12, but where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. Traditions of men. The deep says it's not with me, and the sea says it's not with me. I don't know where wisdom is. It says, pure gold cannot be given in exchange for it, nor can silver be weighted as its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir. In precious onyx or sapphire, gold or glass cannot equal it, nor can it be exchanged for articles of fine gold. Coral and crystals are not to be mentioned, and the acquisition of wisdom is above that of pearls. In other words, nothing can compare to wisdom. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. You know, Proverbs chapter 3 says that in the path of wisdom there's peace. It says all of his paths, paths of wisdom, are paths of peace. It says, nor can it be valued in pure gold. Where then does wisdom come from, and where is the place of understanding? And I want you to know the opposite of understanding is folly. The Bible says the folly of a fool is his discipline. My son died of AIDS. His folly was a homosexual lifestyle, and his folly disciplined him. Everything he sinned with had judgment on it. He had herpes lesions around his rectum. His testicles were this big. I mean, he went blind in his eye from looking at pornography. Goodness, he looked like a 99-year-old Holocaust victim. His folly was his discipline. And your folly is your discipline, and my folly is my discipline. So wherever we get disciplined, we know there's folly. But in the word folly is the opposite of understanding. It's the opposite of walking the way of wisdom. Folly is walking the way of a fool. Thus it's hidden from all the eyes of the living. Now that means every person on this earth, wisdom is hidden from, unless we're walking that path. And concealed from the birds of the sky. In other words, the demons don't know the path of wisdom. Abaddon and death, Satan himself and the demons say, with our ears we've heard a report of it, but we don't know where it is. Hallelujah. It's a place where I'm hidden. It's the mountain of God. It's Zion. It says God understands its way, though. And he knows its place, for he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he imparted weight to the wind and meted out the waters by measure, when he set a limit for the rain and a course for the thunderbolt. You know, those of you who are afraid of thunder and lightning, God's the one that sets the course of the thunderbolt, so make sure we're walking the path of wisdom. I have a precious friend that grew up in Satanism, and they would stake her out in the lightning, and the lightning would hit her. And it, I mean, I don't know if it was a demonic thing, or I'm sure it was demonic, but anyway, when it thunders and lightning, she goes and hides in the closet because she's so afraid. And I'm saying, hey, God sets the course for the thunderbolt. Then he saw it and declared it. He established it and also searched it out. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from understanding, and to depart from evil is understanding. So if you and I want to walk the way of wisdom, we fear the Lord, we turn away from evil, we depart from evil, and that is the path of wisdom. Amen? The Bible says that Job was the most upright man that lived upon the earth because what? He feared God, and he turned away from evil. And see, you can be a person that fears God and turns away from evil. And as you do that, you'll be walking the way of wisdom and the highway of holiness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Stand up and ask the Lord to show you any place that you're not on the highway of holiness. Any place you're not walking the way of wisdom. Father, in the name of Jesus, pray with me. Lord, in Jesus' name, thank you for the hope I have in you. Lord, I want to be ready. I want to be on that highway. Thank you that I don't have to live in fear. The only thing that I fear is having something wrong with me, sin in my life. My mother said once, you better get that weight off you. You check your cholesterol. I said, Mother, I'm not interested in what my cholesterol says. I'm not interested in my cholesterol count. I'm interested in my sin count. Amen? And I could care less what my cholesterol is. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to show me by the power of your Holy Spirit every place that I am not under your refuge. Show me every idol, everything I'm afraid of, everything that makes me angry, everything that makes me depressed, and show me how to dismantle that idol. And Lord, show me how, as Abraham took Isaac up the mountain, help me take all of my pain, all of my hurt, all of my anger, all of my fear, all of my depression up the mountain and say, Lord, if it would bring glory and honor to you for me not to have these things or to have these things, so be it. I live for your glory. I give up my life that I might find it. Show me every place, Lord, that I'm holding on to my life. And then just repent of whatever the Lord shows you. And then when you're through, if you'll sit down, He's going to set you free. Before we pray, I want to say this. If you grew up with a legalistic mom and dad that loved you based on your performance, when you hear a word, like this, it scares you to death. God doesn't want you to turn the potter's wheel. He wants you to yield to the potter. You see what I'm saying? If you grew up with legalistic parents that made you perform, you think you have to do it yourself. All the clay does is yield to the potter. The potter's job to clean you up. And when God looks down from heaven and you're yielded to Him, He don't look at your mess. He looks at His blood that covers you. And then you yield to Him, and then He'll show you something else. And you'll yield to Him, and He'll keep on yielding. That's all you have to remember. Don't try to do it yourself, because you can get overwhelmed with a word like this. Okay? Because you don't even know you're legalistic, because most of you sit in churches that are teaching easy, greasy grace. Thank God for grace. I'm not making fun of grace. But most places are teaching that, and then because you don't hear what the Word of God says, you don't realize you're legalistic till you hear a word like that. So, Lord, I forgive my parents for loving me based on my performance, and I renounce the lie that you expect me to perform. You expect one thing from me. I'm the clay, you're the potter, and you do everything else. All the clay does is rest and let you be in control and let you be Lord. And Lord, forgive me for thinking that I have to do it myself. Forgive me for fear that you're going to throw me away. If you're legalistic and you hear something like that, you think, dear God, I'm too bad. God's going to say, chunk you. If your mom and dad chunked you, you receive a lie, God's going to chunk you. No, He isn't going to chunk you. He's not like your mother and daddy, hallelujah. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive my mother and father for not living under your refuge, that I was just born outside of your refuge. God, forgive me for rebellion and pride and idolatry and bitterness and resentment and worry and being depressed and fearful and feeling defeated. God, I ask you to forgive me for pride and rebellion, being double-minded, being a hearer of the word and not a doer. Forgive me for being double-minded. Forgive me for being lukewarm. God, forgive me for not holding fast the boast of my hope firm until the end. Forgive me for not building my house on a rock. Forgive me for being a foolish virgin. God, forgive me for being a harlot, a spiritual adulterer that's caused me to have no comforter. And some of you are looking for comfort in some person. Can I tell you, if you've got an idol, God won't let anybody comfort you. Your idols don't see, they don't hear, they don't feel, they don't walk, they don't talk. They don't get it. They don't. Just ask me, I'll tell you. I've been trying to tell them. So, Lord, forgive me for trying to find comfort in another person or food or sex or drugs or alcohol. God, I want to be in your refuge. Forgive me that my ways have not pleased you. God, forgive me for not being on that highway of holiness. I pray in the days ahead, you'll continue to show me every place that I'm walking that's not where you want me to walk. I want to obey you. Thank you, Lord. I forgive my forefathers, mother and father, for being rebels, for being heathens, for not living under your lordship and not training me up in the way I should go. I forgive pastors that I've had that haven't taught the Word of God. I forgive prophets that have given me false words that haven't led me to repent of my sin. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I just take accountability for forefathers who were disobedient to your voice and your commandments. And forgive me for being disobedient to your voice and your commandments. And Lord, I ask you to let your cleansing blood flow down from through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through my parents and forefathers not being under your refuge. I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses of rebellion. And in the name of Jesus, I just break the power of Satan over every life. I command every spirit that came in through rebellion, witchcraft, to leave now in Jesus' name. I command every spirit to leave, every person in this room that came in through the sins they've confessed. In the name of Jesus, I break your power in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Worship the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, fill me. Fill me, Lord. With love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face shine upon you and give you more peace. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.